Amen. All right. Guess we know what we got to do this morning. We're going back into the book of Joel. This will be our third lesson on the book of Joel. Thank God for you being here today. Now, Joel, just by the way, review for a few minutes. Let's look at some things here. I pray that God might help you as we begin to study this lesson. Joel is one of the minor prophets. How many minor prophets are there? 12. That's right. 12 minor prophets. And we find that we call them minor. It's not simply because that they're not important, just because they're small in nature, but this book is not small in content. It's like a bomb, I said in the earlier lessons. Now, as we look at this book of Joel, Joel means, in the Word of God, it means Jehovah is God. Not much is said about Joel. There are several Joels in the Bible, but not much mentioned about this particular one here. But we will notice a few things as we go through it. Now, last week, we dealt with chapter 1, 2, and 3, and got into chapter 1, verse number 4. And we stayed a little bit there this morning. We're going to deal some more in the verse number 4. And we look at these things. Let's read this morning verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. So we'll be where we started with last week or ended up with. Bible said in Joel chapter 1, the word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Bethuel. Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. That which the palmer worm hath left, hath the locust eaten, and that which the locust hath left, hath the canker worm eaten, and that which the canker worm hath left, hath the caterpillar eaten. Now looking in this, we find Joel chapter 1, 2, and 3. Only three chapters and only 73 verses, jam-packed. In verse number 1, we found who Joel is. He's a prophet of God, and he's got the word of God to come forth. And he's the son of Bethuel. And in verse number 2, he deals with telling the old men. He said, hear. Now notice in verse number 2, it starts off with the word hear. In verse number 3, it starts off with the word tell. Now you can't go tell until you hear. So we hear from heaven. God wants us to hear the word of God. Then when we accept and receive the word of God, then he wants us to go tell the word of God. So he's sending forth his man here. We dealt with that a little bit. And he's talking about these old men. In other words, he's even given them this. He said, have you seen anything like this in your days? Basically is what he's saying. Has any of your fathers told you anything any worse than this? Something just come upon the land. And here it is. It's a famine, not a famine particularly, but a pestilence. And we find that these locusts, and not only the locusts, but the palmer worm and the canker worm and the caterpillar and the locust have made their play and their bid for the land. And then he goes on to say, tell your children so that they can tell their children, they can tell their children, and from generation to generation. Now, we notice as we get into verse number 4, and looking at these things, last week we dealt with the locust, and I give you several scriptures concerning the locust. I give you a few of them, and I told you about them, and we'll pick up again there this morning. I also said that the locust, they have a tendency, be used in destruction, and they are destructive, and they're used in judgment. But we noticed in Exodus chapter number 10, and verses 4, verses 12, verses 13, 14, and 19, out of the 10th chapter of the book of Exodus, that God showed us in His Word about the plagues. And that's the plague over there in Egypt when Pharaoh was not listening to God, and Moses brought the plagues upon the land. Then we come to the book of Leviticus, and chapter 11 and verse number 22, and we found out that the locust was for meat, that they could eat it. And God give that, so it's for food. So it's not always mentioned in the Bible for destruction and for judgment, but in most of the time it is. Then I want to give you a little bit more of what we said last week. We talked about Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 38 and 42. God used that for judgment, mentioned in 1 Kings 8 and 37, 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 28, and chapter number 7 and verse number 13. We also talked about Psalms 78 and 46, and Psalm 105 and verse 34, and also Psalm 109 and verse number 23. Now this morning, I want you to take your Bible and turn over. And this is a particular scripture that you need to keep in mind. And we'll be referring to it more than one time this morning. So in Proverbs chapter number 30, please. And we'll look at verse number 27. Proverbs chapter number 30 and verse number 27. And he'll tell us something about these locusts. The Bible said the locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them, by bands. Two things point out in that verse, and we'll mention that again as we come back and forth. They have no king. Secondly, they go in bands, and so they are. Now, in verse number 4 of Joel chapter number 1, we talked about the palmer worm. I told you what it meant. What does it mean? It means to gnaw off. And so we find that it's mentioned three times in the Bible. And the locust is mentioned more times, and we're giving you those this morning. The caterpillar. It come across and it said it picked up what the locust didn't eat. Then the canker worm, it means to lick off. And so what they do is get more of what the locust did not eat and what the palmer worm would not eat. And then it said the caterpillar. And the caterpillar means to devour or consume. So we can find that these plagues are coming upon the land. There they are. They're giving problems. Now, go back with me in the book of Isaiah. You don't have to... Well, let's see. I'll just give you these this morning. You just jot these down for the sake of time. In Isaiah chapter number 35, or chapter number 33, excuse me, and verse number 4. And then you'll move over and you put this in your notes. In Nahum chapter number 3, verses 15 and 17. And we'll look at that. You don't know where Nahum is? Just look back over. We'll find Joel and then go on and keep a traveling on as we get across. And you'll find that it pops right up in the Word of God. And God gives us this little book, the book of Nahum. And He's given us that in the words that we might be able this morning to pick up a few things and learn from His precious book. And so let's go back and we'll find Joel, we'll find Amos, and then we'll come over from Amos. We'll get the book of Obadiah, we'll get the book of Jonah, we'll get the book of Micah. Keep a traveling, and then you get the book of Nahum. So you need to keep those in your mind where they are. These minor prophets are important. God gives us something here. Go to chapter number 3 of the book of Nahum and read with me in verse number 15. The Bible said, "There shall the fire devour thee. The sword shall cut thee off. It shall eat thee up like the canker worm." There's that word canker worm that's mentioned, and we'll talk about that later. But this will be one of the places that's mentioned. Canker worm's mentioned four times in the Bible. Here's one of them in Nahum chapter number 3 and verse number 15. And it said, "Make thyself many as the canker worm. Make thyself many as the locust." Now, what was it I said that the locust meant? It means many. And that's what it is. And so the locust, it's many. And so we know that the locusts are quite a few. And they come on. That's what it means. And so they come in a number. They're in a to be many. They come in swarms. And so then he goes on to say in Nahum chapter 3 and verse 16, "Thou hast multiplied thy merchants above the stars of heaven, and the canker worm spoileth and fleeth away. Thy crowned are as the locust." You see that word locust? "And thy captains as the great grasshoppers, which camp in the hedges in the cold day. But when the sun ariseth, they flee away, and their place is not known where they are." Now the locust, one thing about the locust, and of course it said here in the cold day, and when the walk come in, they would go. But as a general rule, the locusts will rest at night and fly in the day. And so that's what happens when they wait for the sun to rise and get up. Now, we'll notice some things about the locusts in some other places. In Joel chapter 1 and verse 4 here in our verse, and in Joel chapter 2 and verse number 25, you find the locust mentioned twice now in the book of Joel, as just like the others as well. But then we find that the locust is also mentioned a little further over in Matthew chapter number 3 and verse number 4. You probably know what I'm going to say when I get there, but turn with me in Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 4, and you'll see where the locust is mentioned. The Bible said in Matthew 3 and 4, "And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey." So we find that John the Baptist came through preaching, and he had a leathern girdle, and that's how he was dressed. And then we find that he had for his food locust and wild honey. So that's another time. So again, It's mentioned for food. So twice in the Bible, one in the book of Leviticus, now over in the book of Matthew. Of course, there's some more places it's mentioned in the New Testament as well for food. And we'll find those in Mark chapter 1. You'll put this in your notes in Mark chapter 1 and verse number 6. And then I want to point out something else about the locust before we go to the next one. That's over in the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter number 9. Turn with me to Revelation chapter number 9. And let's look and see what we can find out of the 9th chapter of the book of Revelation, the last book of your Bible. And go with me to verse number 3. And he said this, "And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power." Now God's going to use this in the tribulation time. It's going to happen on the face of the earth when, and again, locusts are mentioned, if you will, in destruction and in judgment. And God is going to use this in the judgment. So let's look at something else, if you will, with me here in the book of Revelation and verse number 7, chapter number 9 and verse number 7. The Bible said, "And the shapes of the locust were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. And their faces were as the faces of men." So now we find that the locust is going to be used for judgment and when destruction comes upon this earth. Now, remember the theme. I don't know whether you remember it or not, but we was talking in the earlier chapter, or the earlier lessons, I should say, on the book of Joel about the theme being the day of the Lord. Now, that's what the Lord wants us to get in our minds and in our hearts. You see, in verse number 15 of chapter number 1, I'm going to move forward and go just a little bit. We'll come back to these verses in a minute. But he said in Joel chapter 1 in verse 15, "Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come." Now, beloved, there will be a destruction. There will be a time of Jacob's trouble upon this earth that the earth has never known. And God is going to bring this right before the day of the Lord. You can count on it. Now, this is Bible. And we'll talk about that more when we get to this book, or this particular place in this book in verse number 15. Now, going back with me just a little bit, we talked about the locust. The cankerworm. Now, the cankerworm is mentioned 4 times in the Bible. It's mentioned, and you write these down, we won't go to them, but the Bible said in Joel chapter number 1, verse number 4 here in our text, and Joel chapter 2, and verse number 25. And then again, and we done had them again, I'm just giving this over to you once more. They're mentioned in the book of Nahum, Nahum chapter number 3, and verse number 15, and verse number 16. So that's where we find them, in the book of Nahum. And then we'll not only look at the cankerworm, we've already noticed the palmer worm, I gave you them before, and the locust, but we'll find where the caterpillar is mentioned. It's mentioned 5 times in the Bible. We'll not look at these individually this morning for the sake of time, but you go home, and when you get home tonight, you sit down and study. This will give you something for your homework and also to keep you out of trouble. And we'll look here in the Word of God, and it talks about the word caterpillar, mentioned 5 times in the Bible. These are always used in a destructive manner or in a judgment form. In 1 Kings chapter number 8 and verse number 37, we'll find that it mentions the caterpillar. In the book of Psalms chapter number 78 and verse number 46, the word caterpillar is mentioned. In Isaiah chapter number 33 and verse number 4, the word caterpillar is also mentioned. And then again, in Joel chapter number 1, verse number 4, and Joel chapter number 2, and verse number 25. And the word caterpillar means to devour or to consume. Now, these always point out the judgment and the destruction of the Lord. Now, I want you to notice something about this. At the end of verse number 4, brother, I want you to know that the land is desolate. It's barren. There's nothing there. When the palmer worm comes through, and the locust, and the canker worm, and the caterpillar comes through, God is trying to get us to see that the land is desolate. There's nothing left. In other words, the judgment of God can clean you out, lock, stock, and barrel. And so God was trying to get the people's attention. Now, the purpose of this was to get the attention of God's people that they might repent. And that's why God sends the destructions that we have in our land today. Now, some people think that these things just happen. It's just a natural thing, you see. Some would say about the locust and the palmer worm and the canker worm and all that. But may I add this morning? God sends all this, and God can control it, and He does control it. And God can stop them from coming, or God can bring them to pass. And I want you to know that everything's in the providence of God. Nothing just happens. I believe God uses these little bitty creatures. They're awful small, but they do such devastation. And God can take small things and bring you to the place that'll put you on your knees. You may be arrogant. You may be lifted up in pride. You may think that everything's, going hunky-dory with you. But I want you to know this morning, God can bring you down a notch. God can bring me down a notch. And God can bring us down to our knees and put us to the place that we'll find that these people got to later in the book of Joel. And so God is doing that. Now, you said, well, I don't believe God would do that. Well, can I notice with you this morning the Word of God, book of Joel, chapter 1, verse number 15. And I read it a while ago, but I want to read it again. There's a little phrase in there that we need to pick out. In Joel, chapter 1, in verse 15, alas for the day. Now, that's a particular day that God's got in mind. What day is it? For the day of the Lord is at hand. Now, that's what He's got on His mind is that day. Now, notice this. And as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. What's He saying? A destruction. Now, from who? Who's it saying here? He's saying, from the Almighty shall it come. So I'm saying that God is choosing His ways of doing things, and God can do what He wants to because He's God. And the Bible said that this destruction is from the Almighty. Somebody said, God wouldn't do that. God does do that. Brother, God tries to get our attention. If you'll turn with me in chapter number 2 and verse number 25 of this same book, would you read with me? He said in verse number 25, chapter number 2, and I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten. Now this is, he's still talking to his people. The canker worm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm. My great army which I sent among you. Can you notice what the last phrase of that verse is? My great army which I sent among you. See, God is sending these, and this is His servant. God don't have to always have a preacher. He'd have a locust or a termite. It don't have to be anything. God knows how to use what He needs to use to get down to where we are, to bring devastation in our life, to get us on our knees, to find out that there's a God in heaven. Now, that's why I believe God's bringing things upon America this morning. It's because He's trying to get America on her knees once again to see. You see, I believe this was a wake-up call. I believe God sends us some wake-up calls. I know some wake-up calls God sent to me in my life. And so we look at this. Now, this is a wake-up call to get Israel to repent. Now, basically, if you look at the book of Joel and slide right over to the next book in the book of Amos, that's one right over from where we are. In the book of Amos, I want you to go to the 4th chapter. Now, we'll find that Amos basically is right on the same line of this same thing. Go to the 4th chapter of the book of Amos and turn with me to verse number 9. The Bible said in chapter number 4, Amos, verse number 9, I have smitten you with blasting and mildew when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased. He said, the palmer worm devoured them. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have sent among you the pestilence among the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword, and I have taken away your horses, and I have made the stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. That's a great message we've heard preached on many times. Prepare to meet God. And God is coming through Amos to say, look, I brought this to you. And every time I brought it to you, you would not hear. God is bringing judgment after judgment, small judgments, in the eyes of God, I guess, in the sense. They may be great to some of us and greater things, but we look at these. I want to tell you, we are turning our back on God, paying God no attention, and God won't always do that. God will not always let us get by with it. He will send His judgment. Also in Nahum chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, speaking the same thing, we read some of those verses a while ago. In Isaiah chapter 33 and 4, God's still saying the same thing about judgment. Read these verses and kind of digest them, get them in. Now let me say something else this morning about the plague that we find here in the book of Joel. These locusts, they march in order. You remember I said a while ago that they have no king. We read that out of the book of Proverbs chapter number 30, verse number 27. And also, I told you that they went in bands. As a matter of fact, I didn't tell you, but God did out of the Word of God. I just repeated what God said. So we find that this locust plague may be encountered as a natural thing, and we have established this morning that it actually is sent by God for judgment. And these locusts go in bands. The first band comes along like a plane, and they like an army in the war. And they'll drop their bombs, and they'll go in and devour and begin to devastate and begin to take apart and tear up that which is there. And then the next one, you know, that comes through, the second band will come through, and they'll destroy even more. They're kind of like the artillery that we have in our armed forces. And then another band comes through, like the third band, and they're like our infantry, and they come in to devour even more. And then that fourth band comes through. When that fourth band comes through, it mops up. It's the mop-up crew. It's the devastation crew. It's the clean-up crowd. And they come through to do away with what needs to be done. Now, it reminds you that these locusts have no general. They have no sergeant. They have no lieutenants. They have no king. They have no captains. They're at the mercy of God. And God tells them where to go and how to go. And by the way, these locusts will go in the straight line. They don't deviate one end, head in one direction, one the other way. Listen, even the animals and the insects out there in the world, bro, they obey God. They follow the order of what God said. Now, judgment comes and judgment goes. And listen, people pay no attention to the judgment of God sometimes. You see, God is in control. And I said this in an earlier lesson. God is in control of the insects to do His will. God knows how to humble us. God knows how to bring that pride down. God knows how to arrange our lives so that He can get into them. And He can arrange our lives so that He can cut out that rebellious attitude that we have. God knows how to bring us to our knees. God knows how to humble us. And I thank God that He does. And I'm glad that God still works on us. Now, America needs to listen to God. We look in this book of Joel. And we find out this morning that it's a tremendous book in these little four verses. There have been plagues now of locusts. This is not something that just seems to be natural. It takes place. Of course, it is a natural thing. And it's not just a Bible thing. We still have locust plagues. And it has been pretty recent in history that we've had a few locust plagues. And I believe that you'll find that it's going to continue on. And next week, I'm going to deal with a little bit of that. And talk about some of the plagues that we have heard about in our day and how that it's happened not too long ago. Some of you may even have some experiences of where you've heard of it or been around and seen it. And it's devastating. I believe it had one, 1905, it had a big plague out in Utah. I believe that's what it was, or 1915, somewhere around there. And these things sound like a roar of a train, and they're coming through, and they're doing their damage. And the Bible said here, let's read this verse one more time, verse number 4. That which the palm worm hath left hath the locust eaten. And that which the locust hath left hath the canker worm eaten. And that which the canker worm hath left hath the caterpillar eaten. God is speaking. And this is just the beginning of this lesson. Now next week, we're going to take up some other things along with this. We'll give you just a little bit more about these locusts and talk about some things here that's took place and how that things have come up and how that you can see how the scriptures lay it out to the day of the Lord. And then we'll deal with the devastation of what's happened after this plague of locusts has come through. We get down to verses number 5 and he says, awake. We get down in verse number 8, he says, lament. And we go on down and some places, and he says, gird yourselves in verse 13 and verse 14, sanctify. So he's given us some commands, as we already said in this chapter, verses number 2. He said, hear this. And in verse number 3, tell ye. So we need to look at the commands of God. And God's trying to get us into the place. You see, they had seen a locust plague, and he's saying to the old men, have you ever seen anything like this? And I believe they'd said no. And has your fathers ever told you anything any worse than it? Well, there's some things going to come upon this earth that's a lot worse than's ever been recorded and in the Word of God that's happened thus far. Now, it's recorded that it's going to happen, but it hasn't happened yet, but it will. The judgment of God is coming. I trust today that the Lord will help you to understand this and to see this. And we get this little book fixed in our mind. I know these little short lessons, but I believe this morning that we can just kind of get a little idea of the book of Joel to understand it. So what have we done? Let's just kind of recap what we got. Chapter number 1, we're verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. And all we've seen is that God is just trying to wake us up, trying to get our attention, and he's trying to get the Israelites in this particular place, but he's an application is to you and me. And he's saying this plague has come through. And he sent this plague for a reason. I don't believe God put it in here to take up space. I believe it's exactly what I'm trying to tell you, that God is trying to get this as a prelude that's coming a judgment on this earth. We need to prepare to meet God. That's what he said in the book of Amos. And right after those plagues come, and God talked about it. So I believe this morning God's trying to show us that he's in control. He's in charge. Nothing else is going to work. God's going to do his work. And we might as well just give in to it and give up to it, because God's going to get the final say. God's going to get the final word. He's God. We're not. Amen. We're just the servants and the vessels that God wants to use and will use if we'll let him use us. And so I say this morning, I know my time's gone. Let's bow our head this morning and pray that God might have his way. Father, help us today. Thank you for the reading of the Word of God. Thank you for the little book of Joel that's a blessing to us, a strength to us, an encouragement to us. Thank you, Lord, for the words that you've given us. I pray that we might apply them now, that they might be a blessing and a help and a strength, that we might give glory and honor to the Lamb of God, that your name might be. Now, I pray, God, that you'd touch the rest of the service. Use it for the glory of God. May the Lamb of God be lifted. Touch every heart that might come in the building. Lord, save their soul if we're out of the ark of safety. And if they don't know you, if they're lost, and then, Lord, that today has left out the fellowship and walked away from you, got cold, indifferent, touch their heart. Lord, I pray today that your will might be performed. Have your own way today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.